What does it mean to be a disciple? Hi, I'm Jordan Sullivan, the minister of music here at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama, and we're in a series looking at how we can be committed disciples of Jesus Christ by following His Great Commission together as a church family. Our prayer is that in this season you will find greater communion with God, greater community with your fellow disciples, and greater commitment to Jesus' Great Commission. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to Day 28 of A Disciple of Christ, A Season of Commitment. Today's devotion is titled, A Serious Call for Discipleship. David Guzik once wrote, "The disciple lives in a paradox. He can only find life by losing it. Resurrection life can only come after we take up our cross to follow Jesus." Our text for today is from Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39. "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Jesus does not water down his call for discipleship. Instead, he tells his first disciples exactly what he expects and what they will face. Charles Swindoll provides excellent commentary on Jesus' challenge toward committed discipleship. When Jesus prepared to send the 12 on their first assignment to minister without him, he knew they would face challenges. Each of the disciples was unique. None had ever done anything like this before, and the general public didn't know them and wouldn't trust them. Since they were inexperienced and unknown, the obstacles they would face and the persecution they would endure would likely be demoralizing. So to soften the blow of the ministry shock they were about to experience, Jesus gave them a kind of checklist. Two words describe the checklist Jesus gave to his disciples: painfully honest. Anyone hearing this checklist would have all doubt removed regarding the seriousness of representing the Master before a watching world. It would not be easy. In fact, it would be exacting. As we work our own way through the checklist, it would be a good time for us to pause and ask ourselves the questions Isaac Watts asked in one of his hymns. "Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause, or blush to speak his name?" Jesus was like a commander preparing his platoon for spiritual combat. There was no room for making them feel good about their situation. They needed to think realistically about it. In helping them to do this, Jesus pointed to vital qualities of a loyal disciple enlisted in the Master's service. Loyal disciples willingly accept rejection, even from their own families. When we openly acknowledge our identity as Christ followers through words and actions, we shouldn't be surprised when social conflict ensues. When Christ returns and sets everything right, peace will reign across the globe. All nations will acknowledge the kingship of Jesus. But until then, our expressed commitment to Christ will not result in increasing peace and harmony. Instead, it will bring division, disharmony, misunderstanding, and the harshest kinds of rejection and persecution. Christians shouldn't deliberately seek conflict with family members. In fact, Paul says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. That's Romans 12:18. But even those words suggest it won't always be possible. We must willingly accept conflict with friends and family if it occurs. And it does. I've heard of parents disowning children, breaking off contact with them, or constantly making malicious, ugly comments about their faith. And in some parts of the world, conversion to Christianity is tantamount to treason against one's country and is considered the worst kind of betrayal of one's people. In those cases, physical harm or even death might result. Jesus wasn't sugarcoating the life of discipleship. He was preparing his followers for what was ahead. A faithfulness to Jesus Christ can set family members at variance. We are called to seek peace with family, friends, and our communities whenever possible. You can see, for example, Exodus 20, verse 12, Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3, and Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. But division will inevitably occur between those who embrace the Lordship of Christ and those who don't. This regrettable state of strained and broken relationships due to our confession of Christ as Savior and Lord leads to Jesus' next exhortation. The third item on Christ's checklist is this: loyal disciples sacrificially choose their essential priorities. Fidelity to Christ will be neither easy nor popular. In reversal of the world's priorities, passions, and pursuits, the world tells us to be concerned about ourselves, our own lives, our own interests, our own identities, our own families, our own peace and security, and our own possessions. The world feeds the insatiable beast of self. But the call of Christ puts Jesus alone on the throne of our lives. This doesn't mean that we should hate everything else in life. Jesus is not suggesting that we shouldn't love our parents and our children. But we're not to love them more than we love Christ. The response of the loyal disciple is clear. Faithfulness to Christ calls for a commitment to Him that supersedes all other commitments. Following Jesus requires serious dedication. But the rewards of discipleship far outweigh any sacrifice one makes to follow Him. That is precisely why, in verse 39, Jesus declares, "Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Some questions to consider. How does our nearness to Christ bring both peace and persecution? How does Jesus' challenge reveal the level of commitment that He requires to follow Him? On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest, What is your current level of commitment to Christ? And what reasons do you have for that response? And finally, how can you raise your level of commitment to Christ? Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.